Oh, three more years of Let's Blank and Go from Craig Berube.
That's a drinking game right there.
It sure is. It's 3:03 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. BT, Ronge, and Randy with you. And the Blues announced officially this morning that the interim tag has been taken off of Craig Berube's title. And the Blues sent out a tweet with Craig Berube, interim head coach, and the interim was crossed out, and it's got him holding up the Stanley Cup. So that was a pretty cool way to announce it, and good news for Blues fans. Your first and only Stanley Cup championship coach is going to be here for the foreseeable future.
There's no way you could do anything else. I mean, this is the worst kept secret around. I know Doug Armstrong was asked about it late during the Stanley Cup run, and he said, yeah, I've got the list down to one. So we all knew this was going to happen, but you always have to cross the T's, dot the I's, and get something like this done. I'm really excited for Craig Berube. I'm excited for the Blues, and I'm excited for the fan base, because Craig Berube changed things. I mean, he changed a lot of things. He changed the culture, and he talked about it. As soon as he took over, he had to fix a locker room that wasn't where it needed to be, and it started to a man. It was having conversations. It was making leaders out of your group, and he was able to do that. And one of the biggest things that you saw with him was the accountability to a man. It didn't matter if you were the last guy on the roster or you were the superstar, you were accountable under Craig Berube. I'm excited for him today.
Well, everybody did buy in. I know that was a thing that we were talking about for the last few years and kind of mocking it in a way that these guys needed buy-in. Well, all of these guys did, and they're going from fights in practice to hugging after a Stanley Cup championship, and he has a lot to do with it. I'm still amazed, and I think we all are. I think everybody who paid attention to the Blues this year is amazed at the degree of turnaround. I mean, you see teams get better when they make coaching changes or goaltender changes, but you never see teams do what they did to the degree that they did it. That you go from literally the worst team in the NHL, you had the fewest amount of points of any other team in the league, and then you end up where you ended up, and he is a massive reason for it. So this is just a formality. We knew this was going to happen. I know that there were some people, a small group of folks, that were kind of worried about getting Barry Trotz here. It didn't happen.
No other openings.
Right. And, well, I think there might have been some teams that would create openings if they thought he was available, don't you?
Perhaps, but I don't see it out there. At least last year with the Islanders, there was a legitimate opening. I don't know that after 1 year, that's what made this unique, is a half a year of coaching the Blues and winning the Stanley Cup. I don't know that that team was out there to come and steal him. It wasn't like when Keenum won the Cup with the Rangers and had a history and had been to two finals. There's a lot to like about Craig Berube. I love the fact that he's on his second job, obviously coached with Philadelphia. And I think in the last 25 years, there have only been three Stanley Cup champion coaches that were not on their second, third, fourth job. I love the fact that the veterans respond to him and love him, especially when you saw at the end when he did lift the cup. The players applauded him, and Pat Maroon talked about he resurrected his career. But he has also coached in the minors. He coached Chicago, and that's where he caught the Blues' eye, and they hired him as an assistant because he did such a great job with young players. So if you have the ear of the veteran players, but you can teach young players, and you have that experience, you know what goes wrong when you fail, and he saw it with Mike Yeo too. There's a lot to like about Craig Berube.
Well, you know how to win now, too. Yep. You've been through that, and you know what the long haul is all about, and you have that instant cachet, just like all these guys that were able to hoist that cup last year. When those type of guys speak about situations, you tend to listen a little bit. So there is that. Now, I do wonder now going forward, this being his team, I wonder if there are any things that he's wanted to implement or want to get better at. Randy, we were having the conversation in the office earlier about, all right, well, staff, does your staff stay exactly the same? Do you maybe bring somebody along that has a lot of experience in the power play? That might end up being a nice addition for you.
I think it'd be smart, and the Blues never did replace Berube as an assistant coach. They had Mike Van Ryan for the defense and Steve Ott for the forward, so it would seem like there's a spot open there, and I don't know if you bring that person in from the inside or the outside. A guy like Jeff Brown, who's in town and has done a lot of minor league coaching and is a guy that was a point man on a power play in the NHL for years and has been a head coach at the junior and minor league level, I think that's the kind of guy that you'd be looking for that has experience with young players, but also has the schematic experience to put together an NHL power play.
Well, think about what they did and the unlikelihood of doing it with the power play as bad as it was. You know how hard it is to go through an entire playoffs and dispatch every team that you face, and you have a lousy, lousy power play. It is extremely hard to do that. And whatever they have to do, and I think the personnel is there. It's something we talked about throughout the season. Why is this so bad? It shouldn't be this bad, because they've got the guys to do it. And, you know, you would hope that you would bring in somebody who is able to help them with a power play and also teach them to turn their phone off when they're in the middle of a show.
Yay. Yeah, well, Craig Berube probably does that. I never heard his phone go off in a post-game presser or anything like that.
He doesn't even bring it with him.
That's maybe a good idea.
It is.
Well, was that a text message or email?
Oh,
what'd you get?
It was an email.
You get alerts for your emails?
That must be maddening. Turn that off.
Yeah, this
I
is
get lots of emails.
Yeah, this is an interesting
email. I sign up
email.
For a lot of junk.
Oh, and
there it is, yep. Randy. Who is it, Randy?
Hey, all. Sorry for the mass email.
Oh, great.
Oh, Christ, stop
now
there.
Now you're gonna get mass responses.
Yeah, one of our coworkers is announcing his resignation in a lengthy email. So
did I not get that email? This stuff's working. All right.
Okay. Some numbers for Craig Berube. After the first of the year, from January 1st through the end of the regular season, the Blues went 30-10-5. They had the most points among all teams in that span. Berube led the team overall to a 38-19-6 regular season record, which obviously is fantastic. And he helped the Blues become the seventh team since the 67-68 expansion year to earn a postseason berth after being last in the NHL at any point after New Year's Day. So congratulations to the coach.
Yeah, it's
and the Blues.
Once again, it's nothing that anybody should be surprised by, but I think that you should be excited about the future. We were joking around beforehand, guys, about if next season starts off like this season started, do people just go crazy and hate him? Probably, because that's how the masses end up being, or at least the vocal.
Yeah.
The vocal end up being, but he deserves this. He deserves a 3-year deal. He deserves security. And I just love, because you can see through when players are talking about a coach, when they're specifically asked about them and they have to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when somebody truly, genuinely appreciates
respects somebody.
Yes. And you got it to a man. Every time that I heard anybody talking about Chief, it was legit. It was real. They tiptoed around Mike Yeo questions. And for what, I don't know what the reason is. I don't know whether he just didn't connect with them somehow, some way. They would tiptoe around that. And maybe I was reading too much into the praises throughout the year of Craig Berube, but most of them sounded like also a backhand to Mike Yeo. It's like talking about how much different it is and how refreshing it is to have Craig Berube on board and to have the communication, have all the things that they have. These are great things. He's built himself quite the pedestal already.
And the guys he's got have already bought in, as we were joking about earlier. But now the good news is anybody who comes in after this, he is Stanley Cup winning Craig Berube. So it's like his system works.
Yeah.
And you better pay attention, because here's a guy who's got a cup. And I think that buys you a lot of equity.
Well, and I think that you also have the fact that you have most of your group returning. I mean, there's going to be a little bit of turnover, like there always is, but there's not going to be too much trying to get anybody to buy in. Like, here we are. This is what we do.
Coming up in the Fast Lane, the Blues did just win the Cup, and many of you are probably so jacked up that you don't even care what the Blues do next season. If that's the case, how long will that last? That's next on 101 ESPN. That is the chairman of your St. Louis Blues, Tom Stillman. And by the way, the Blues did announce their schedule today, and it's October 2nd against Washington at Enterprise Center that the Blues do open their season. It is hard to repeat, and the expectation here is going to be that they win, and they win at a big level. But I also understand that since Detroit won back-to-back in the last decade, I believe, or let's see, Detroit's back-to-backers were 98-99. Last century, there's only been one back-to-back since then. That was Pittsburgh a few years ago. The Blues should be good enough to make the playoffs again, health permitting, but, man, it's hard to play that many games and be on top of your game like the Blues were this year and would need to be again next year. They played 108 games.
It's a lot. Well, I think that that's all you can ask for going into next season is just have a shot at it. So it is making the playoffs. And when you look at the roster that they should have, and certainly there will be a little bit of tinkering, but your nucleus is still there, that shouldn't be a far cry. Now, it will be very interesting to see what this group looks like after a Stanley Cup offseason, because this offseason is a hell of a lot different, not just all the games, but everything that also goes along with winning the Stanley Cup. There's appearances, there's your day with the cup, there's parties all the time. Like, there's a lot, and it creeps up on you quickly this season. I mean, this season will be here before we even know it, so maybe that means slow start. Hopefully not. I'm sure Craig Berube has got something in place for that already. I'm sure he's been thinking through all of these same things, just like we are right now. But I'm not expecting the Blues to rattle off two in a row. Like, you don't just go 50 years and then say, oh, well, that's easy, we got this figured out, now get another one. But I expect to see them in the playoffs next year.
I absolutely expect that. I hope for a better start, but it is, I mean, everything that we're talking about here is true. It's difficult when you've played an extra 2 months of the season. You play longer than anybody else did, with the exception of the Bruins. Man, that's difficult. And I always joke that it feels like the hockey offseason is 2 weeks, and then you're right back at it. It is the shortest offseason. It's maybe the most physically demanding sport, maybe. I think you could argue football is too, even though you don't really play every day, but you're just getting your body torn to shreds every Sunday. But doing this every couple of nights for 6 to 7 months, sometimes even longer than that, that takes a physical toll. And I know the Penguins did it. They won back-to-back. But I do not expect the Blues to do it. Hopefully they surprise everybody and are able to do it again. But it is a tough thing to get back started up when you hardly have any off time.
And there is going to be a lot of celebration on the part of the fans. The early part of next season, when they raise the banner against Washington, there will be a lot of celebration of the Stanley Cup then. You have the All-Star game next year. And so there's going to, for any franchise, even if you're a last place franchise, that's an exciting part of it. So I think there are going to be a lot of distractions next year, plus the benefit of the doubt. The fact that, hey, we did win, and we should be really happy about the fact that we finally won one.
Yeah, I know that we were joking about it during the last segment of how much of a grace period do they get. No one's going to be mad at the Blues, right, next season, because they've already won the cup. So
have you met people?
But that's the truth. So there are going to be times next year where the team frustrates us, and I think that's okay. But by and large, you have to give them a grace period.
You've bought
for
plenty
doing
of grace.
This is yes, exactly. And I always talk about Bill Simmons, who, and this was years ago, he sort of put out a 5-year grace period for any team that wins a championship. That I think you have to give them that. Hey, you know how hard it is to win a title in any sport and how long it can take? Again, look at the team down the street we're talking about. It took them over half a century to finally get that title. So if you give your team a grace period of like 5 years, I think that is totally acceptable. And that's not to say you can't be frustrated at them at times, because that's going to happen. You're a fan. You're supposed to. But overall, they won a cup. You can't get too mad at them.
For me, though, and I'm on board with what you guys are saying, and I am going to give them a grace period. Chicago didn't win back-to-back in the three that they won. They didn't win any of them back-to-back. With your best players being in their mid to late 20s, you do have a window here with O'Reilly, Tarasenko, Schwartz, Petrangelo, Parayko, Binnington. If you consider that group, and Robert Thomas obviously is younger than that, if you consider that group your core, then you should have expectation that in the next half dozen years you're going to be able to take another legitimate shot at it.
Yeah, well, that's how you plan it, and it's all about getting to the postseason. I do think at this point, as long as it's under 50 years, I mean, it's a win. It's a win at this point. You got one tattoo.
Yeah.
That's enough.
That's
no, but you're
the
right,
one.
Though. The core is aging, and it is very difficult to add to that core when you draft last, you know,
right.
when you're in a position like they are right now. That is a position, by the way, that every team wants to be in, and to have to worry about that as you get down the road. But you will have to be more creative in the future.
So the expectation is they should be competitive again next season, that we should be talking about them maybe not necessarily winning the cup again, but they should get back to the playoffs. And they should be a serious team when they get there because of the core they have. But you also understand the other factors. Having played longer, knowing that it's difficult to do this on repeat. And I know, again, Pittsburgh did it, but and did it recently. But that's an anomaly. That's really difficult to do. I think the expectation should be get back to the playoffs and make some noise when you get there. Don't miss out on the playoffs again. I think if they do that, frustration is warranted.
And realistically speaking, the Penguins had two Hall of Famers in Crosby and Malkin and a lot of other really talented players to go along with them. Phil Kessel up front, they had a really strong defense. And two number one Stanley Cup champion goalies. Mm-hmm. How many teams have that? Fleury had won a Stanley Cup championship, and then he gets hurt. Matt Murray comes in, and he's able to, even though he was down for much of the second championship season, he was there for the playoffs and won a Stanley Cup championship. There's not many teams that have that luxury that the Penguins got from finishing at the bottom of the standings for a long time. And the Blues are going to have to rely on their competitiveness, and people are going to some of these young players are going to have to get better. They are going to need more speed. We talked about the power play. They are going to need to improve their power play. A guy like Kyrou is going to have to emerge, and Rob Thomas is going to have to ascend the way that we expect him to.
You're right. I wanted to ask you guys, and I haven't felt any of this yet. I haven't noticed any of it, but I do believe it to be a matter of time. Have you felt that the Blues fans have become insufferable yet?
No.
Not yet, right?
I mean, that's what we want, though.
Maybe.
No,
because that just means you're winning a lot.
They're having fun.
Yes. But there has not been that arrogance about it. It has been like sheer happiness. I just wonder, Randy, how Blues fans in general should carry themselves. Like how should you walk around when you see your friend from somebody else, like, or somewhere else that's a big, whether it be a Predators fan or a Blackhawks fan or, you know, whoever, pick somebody, you know, it doesn't matter.
I think you should be joyful, gleeful.
You think so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, I don't know if that arrogance should come out. I think it's going to.
And what you're wondering is, should they taunt?
Yeah.
Well, with a Predators fan, I think you take the high road and say, man, this feels so good. I hope that you can experience this soon.
But you don't really want them
to. No, but you tell them that just to take the high road.
That is really nice.
Yeah.
What is that, Southern hospitality?
Yeah.
Like it's being nice to your face and then talking about you behind your back?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's the Southern.
It's also really good to just remind them that, once again, yes, this did happen for me, for us, for our city, for our fan base. And poor you, maybe you'll get a little bit.
And for Hawks fans, you just say, hey, we're still the Cubs of hockey.
Because you've only won once?
Because we won a championship.
Yeah.
After a long drought.
Yeah, but Cubs fans are insufferable now.
Yeah, but that's why that's why you be self-deprecating.
So,
Try to tell them how it should be done.
Because I do think that was a comp for a really long time, is the Blues and the Cubs, right? I mean, the fact that, we knew the drought that the Cubs had, we know the drought that the Blues had, but that shifted on a dime.
Now, I will say this, too. There were times when the Cubs were winning in 07, 08, or even when they were in first place or when they won in 84, where those old guys in the bleachers acted like they had won the World Series 30 times.
It's the closest they got.
Yeah. So
it is their World Series at that time.
I think there is a built-in insufferability with some fan bases, and I think that was one of them.
You know,
I mean, not all of them, just a certain portion of them.
85% of the world goes to work, and the other 15 go to that ballpark.
To use it as their blanket playground.
Right. So, I mean, there's going to be some insufferability there.
Yeah, and there will be some insufferability among Blues fans, too. You know it's going to happen.
And I kind of want that. I mean, I know BT's joking about it, but I want to get to the point.
Not after one.
Do it after one. But I wanted to get to the point where they're threatening to do it again, and then maybe they actually do it again within the next couple of years, and then you can be insufferable.
Where it's not just an incredible story.
Right.
It's like, wow, last place, and then they rattled this off, and it was an amazing run.
Let's go Dynasty.
Oh, that's fun. Let's keep talking about that.
I want to be in the bar high.
What the hell?
Hey, as a Blues fan.
If Jordan Binnington is Kurt Warner, then you take the same tack and path that the Greatest Show on Turf took, aside from
leaving town.
You think Kurt Warner could be a net? I don't know.
Maybe. You never know.
Might stop.
No, Binnington becomes that guy, and then you just hope that your opposition in your second Stanley Cup final in 3 years doesn't cheat.
Which organization is the most likely to cheat, Randy, do you think?
In the National Hockey League?
Mm-hmm.
probably in our conference. No, it's Detroit.
Still Detroit?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not Colorado?
Nah, probably not.
Okay.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN coming up. The Cardinals are back in action tonight. A new deal for Craig Berube. And more with your Hot Topics of the Day. Coming your way next on 101 ESPN. A busy day for the St. Louis Blues. This morning, they announced that their head coach, Craig Berube, has had the interim tag removed, and he has signed a 3-year contract. A press conference forthcoming tomorrow to officially introduce Craig Berube as the permanent head coach of the Blues. Blues also announced their schedule for the season, 11 Saturday night games, 30 non-Saturday night games for the Blues. They'll open up against the Washington Capitals, the last two Stanley Cup champs, meeting on October 2nd at Enterprise Center. And the Blues, according to our friend Jim Thomas of the Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com, have extended qualifying offers to 9 of their 11 restricted free agents. Ivan Barbashev, Sammy Blais, Jordan Binnington, Joel Edmondson, Robbie Fabry, Ville Husso, Renke, Zach Sanford and Oscar Sundquist, Mitch Renke, Zach Sanford and Oscar Sundquist, not given offers, Connor Bleakley and Nikita Soshnikov. So Robbie Fabry has been given a qualifying offer by the Blues, and they have the first right of refusal to keep him if he indeed gets an offer from another team.
Robbie Fabry.
Give him that extra year. I have no problem with the Blues taking the chance on him. He shouldn't be that expensive. And seeing if maybe those knees are back.
Yeah, so much upside. We know with Robbie Fabry. And I know a couple of ACLs probably slows you down a tad bit. But there is a lot there. And it is crazy when you just said opening night for them. October 2nd. That is so soon.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically right around the corner, isn't it? I mean, we're in the middle of summer. Oh, July, August. Bing, bang, boom. You're playing. So get some rest, boys.
Yeah, good luck.
Get right back into your program. That's hard. I mean, guys are going to have to figure out how to get ready for next
year.
Because I don't think that you can play an extra 2 months and then just get right back into it. Like, your body, especially in hockey, you have to heal. Like, you have to figure out a way to get yourself back to normal before you start tearing yourself down again. And I'm sure that the staff over there with the Blues, and this happens with every team, they give you a little bit of direction as to how to get there, and I'm sure a lot of guys have their personal trainers as well, but you throw your regular offseason out the window. Like, you have to figure out a new plan to be ready for another long run this year.
And then you got a long-ass hangover to overcome, you know? I mean, you got to get past that.
That's
first.
That's called a bender.
And, I mean, that is one hell of a bender these guys have been on. And I think every Stanley Cup team does that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all drinking from the cup, all kinds of different liquids. So you're having an extra season to come back from, and then, like, probably 2 weeks or so of a bender you have to recover from, too. That's tough to do.
Yeah, don't play your last preseason game until the last preseason game. Your first preseason game until the last preseason.
That is right.
The Cardinals will host Oakland tonight, the opener of a 2-game series. Marp, DeJong, Goldie, Ozuna, Martinez, and Yachty, Fowler, Wonger, and Flaherty. And guys, I think that the A's might be the most nondescript group of players that perform reasonably well as a unit on a semi-regular basis that there is. Chris Bassett goes against Flaherty tonight. And they have Piscotty, who we know. They have Chris Davis, who's an immensely talented and consistent hitter. And they traded for Jurickson and Profar. But the guys that they bring up and start playing for them, they aren't household names, and I don't know that they ever will be until they get away from Oakland.
Well, their couple of Matts are really good.
They're
Matt
really
Chapman
good.
And Matt Olson. You'll have Matts on the corners of your infield, and those guys are solid. Look, it's you're right. It is a team. They don't have much money to spend, so they have to draft. They have to develop. They'll trade off pieces. They'll load up with prospects, and they need some of those prospects to end up panning out. But they can be dangerous. They can swing it, and certainly, as you mentioned, Chris Davis has got so much pop. The guy is a freak. And the consistency, didn't he have the same amount of home runs and the same average like a few years in a row?
I think he's hit 247 3 years in a row.
247, 247, 247. You want to guess what he's hitting right now?
247?
248, actually. He's got a little bit of an uptick. 42, 43, 48 home runs last year, led the league, and he's got 16 bombs right now.
By the way, it's 4 years in a row that he's hit 247.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. So the way right now that the Cardinals' offense is going, the starting pitching needs to continue to be great. And I have no reason to believe that Jack Flaherty can't be great against these guys, but he's going to have to be very careful. If you're looking at one thing when it comes to Flaherty, the home runs have been an issue. The couple of long balls last time out, they ended up hurting him in that ball game. Although the Cardinals' offense hurt him a little bit more. Going to have to make sure that his mistakes are off the plate, his mistakes are down, his mistakes aren't cement mixer sliders down the middle.
What you're talking about really isn't just a Jack Flaherty problem. As a team, they've been giving up far too many home runs.
They're not the Orioles, though.
They are not the Orioles.
Did they give up three? No, they're on pace for 324 as a staff, I think it is. I was reading this morning. It's something ridiculous.
And this is Machado tonight. You think he'll hit a few against him in that ballpark?
I'll just take the over. I don't even know what the number is.
The A's lineup tonight is Marcus Semien at short, Robbie Grossman in left, Matt Chapman at third, Matt Olson at first, Ramon Laureano in center. He's a really good defensive player, Laureano.
He's got a cannon, too, by the way.
Stephen Piscotty in right. Give him a standing ovation. Profar, Josh Fegley behind the plate, and Chris Bassett, who's 4-3 on the mound.
Serious note, Stephen Piscotty, that is a standing O.
Totally, 100%.
I mean, former Cardinal, got traded off. Everybody knows why he was traded to the A's. I got a feeling it'll be a very nice, warm reception for him.
I never got the update on, because he had something removed from his ear.
He came back a couple days. Yeah, he had the melanoma, right? Yep. So he had that cut off. And
they were doing a biopsy on it.
I guess he's good to go.
Yeah, hopefully so.
The Greek Freak is named the MVP of the NBA. I was thinking last night and this morning as I was reading about the NBA awards, it's going to be hard for the USA to win the basketball gold medal next year. There are a lot of good players. I don't even know if our best young players are on the roster for the USA. We have more good players than everybody else, but there are some dominant players that are playing for other countries.
Yeah, but I do think that it's more so. I still don't believe that one Giannis is going to beat a USA team full of NBA. While they might not all be superstars, they're still stars in their own right. We're not going to have the dream team again.
No.
Like, that's not going to happen, but I still feel like the USA, I you know what I hope? I hope that there is still that sense of pride when it comes to that. Because, like, the Dream Team had that, and they wanted to blow the doors off everybody. And they just, this was not a showcase for them. Like, it was real. It was the Olympics. I haven't really got that feeling, you know, about the squad nowadays. Or basically, sports in general. You don't feel like you have your contracts you're playing for, you have your championships you're playing for in your own leagues, but the other stuff is like, nah, that's fine. That'll be good.
They have 35 players on their list, and the coach is Greg Popovich. One of the things that I wonder, because I don't know how well they get along, is Kawhi going to want to play for Greg Popovich for Team USA?
I don't know. That's very interesting, because we all know how that went down over there. You had a lot of players. I mean, even Pop would take veiled shots at Kawhi as he was going through things. And the belief was he was healthy. Kawhi said, no, ain't going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know. But I always love the Olympics anyhow. And I love any games where we can just, like, get behind and root for our flag and for our country. So I hope he plays. Hope him and Pop bury the hatchet.
I'm nostalgic for that original Dream Team.
It was the best.
My God, was that fun.
Somebody put a picture of that Dream Team up on Twitter and said, name all these guys.
Without looking it up,
yeah,
right?
I don't need to look it up. I know all of those guys. I've got the starters. I've got a little picture in my basement, the baby Dream Team.
Those are cool. Like leaning on the fence or something like that?
Exactly. Looking over the fence.
What was great about it, that was the first time that professionals were allowed to play, because it was always amateurs we were sending in, and it was the first time we got to put our best up against everybody else's best, and so there was a novelty to that.
And all due respect to any other team that's ever assembled, but when you have Bird, Jordan, Magic, Ewing, and Barkley as your starting five.
That's awesome.
And then you're bringing Stockton and Malone and David Robinson off the bench. It was ridiculous. Scottie Pippen coming off the bench. Chris Mullin.
Who's the most random one? Is it Chris Mullin?
Yeah. No, it's The bad Leighton? Guy from Duke, Leighton. Christian Leighton. Mm-hmm. He was a rookie. They wanted to put a college player on, and that was their little bone to college basketball, was they put him on the team.
I mean, that's something.
They were awesome. And they Barkley elbows an Algerian player. And they're winning by 80.
It wasn't awesome. Fair.
I believe you have to set the tempo. Charles Barkley could do that. It's like, hell, they can have all the rebounds. Yeah. I don't want anything.
And you're right, though. The rest of the world sort of caught up a little bit since then. I mean, they're not quite there yet, but you got a lot of really great foreign players that we've seen in the last couple decades.
We want to hear from you later on in the show. The Blues got behind Gloria, and the Cardinals need a little bit of a lift, don't they? And here in St. Louis, we know that usually comes with a team song. So what song do you think the Cardinals should adopt this season to spark a turnaround? Do you have a song? Maybe you can call in and play it, sing it for us to spark the Cardinal turnaround. Or maybe you can pick one out. Give us a little taste of what you're thinking. Leave us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app, and we want to hear from you later in the show.
We're going to ask our listeners to sing.
If they want to.
I love it. Look, if you've got it, belt it out. What's the song going to be?
82 it was Celebration. 85 it was The Heat Is On.
Who'd have thought Gloria was going to be the rallying cry? And now we're going to hear that forever, and it's going
to
be great.
Well, these guys need to go to some karaoke bar somewhere, like on a road trip. That's how it's going to have to happen.
Yep. It's a great thought.
Those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN. Coming up, boys, grab your scarves and bow ties. We're about to run the show for the Cardinals. That's next on 101 ESPN. As we know, the Cardinals are kind of scuffling relative to what the expectations that we had for them were, and so we are willing to make changes. We are actually Cardinals general manager Michael Gersh today, and we are presenting a plan of attack to improve the Cardinals to Pobo, John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations.
So we're kicking stuff even further upstairs.
Oh, yeah.
In an effort and we're doing more realistic stuff, right? I can't do like a text line trade.
No. What was that?
There was one earlier that said, what did you guys think about
Reyes?
Acquiring Max Scherzer and Sean Doolittle? Which, by the way, both those guys are going to be on one of the phone calls that I'm going to make in this segment, probably. But it was for Reyes, Waka, and Jose Martinez.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that if I'm Washington.
That's exactly right, Mo.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in too.
But if Mo were
to answer for Mike Rizzo, he would say... That's
okay,
dumb.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen.
So, BT, why don't you start off as Cardinal GM Michael Gersh?
All right, well, let's just start with an area of concern right now. Mo, as you know, Jordan Hicks went down. We already had a little bit of concern. We'd always love to add in our bullpen. And a great way to start is with the team that's in town right now. The A's are here. Now, I realize, currently, 2.5 games back of the wild card, they might not want to deal right now. But as we get closer... this thing could get pushed away, and I'm interested in a couple of their relievers. Now, one of their guys right now is on the shelf. He's on the IL, but it's a shoulder issue. He should be back soon, and at least let's keep an eye on Blake Treinen. I like him. Last year, he had ridiculous numbers. He was an all-star, 38 saves, struck out 100, had a .78 ERA. So I'm interested in him, and I'd at least like to ask Billy Beane or their GM, David Forrest, about him. And while we're having this conversation, Liam Hendricks. Liam Hendricks is going to take over in the closing role. He's going to be a free agent next year, so this would be a rental. It's not going to cost him a lot. And if the A's fall out, Mo, I think that I would like to talk to them about these guys. I think it would be. No, that's a great point. And that's exactly what most deals that I'm going to come up with as GM of this team, they will be happy endings.
Well, here's another thing. If you might want to throw this in, since the A's are in town, and my idea is to go for relief pitching now, because certainly the Cardinals are going to be able to use it with Jordan Hicks out for some time. But since Oakland is here, you're not going to use Matt Chapman for the next 4 years. I know he's under control until 2024.
We were doing real trades.
Yeah, so you might as well just give us Matt Chapman while we're at it. Yeah, you don't need him. And you're going to trade him anyway.
How do you start that conversation with Billy Beane?
I don't know.
Billy, no arms, no legs.
No legs.
On your doorstep. What is it?
Matt.
Yes, Chapman.
Okay,
please.
We will take him.
All right.
You can have him, because here's the thing. We're the Oakland A's. We always trade our stars before they become stars, so you might as well go ahead and take him.
Mo, I am going to change our approach here. I know that we have wanted to protect our young players. And yes, I understand that we traded prospects to get Marcell Ozuna. I understand that we traded prospects to get Paul Goldschmidt. But we have to stop protecting all of our prospects. Hey, I'm completely on board with protecting Dylan Carlson. I think he's going to be great. And Jake Woodford. And we all love Nolan Gorman. And Andrew Kisner has to be here. But our number four prospect, Elijuris Montero, he is one of three of our top 10 prospects that is a third baseman, along with Malcolm Nunez. He's our number six prospect. Outfielder Jahan Torres, a superfluous H. Lane Thomas, who we saw. Genesis Cabrera, Ryan Helsley, Edmundo Sosa. We have a lot of young players. And we talked before this season about winning for 2019. The team, Mo, that is going to go out and make big moves for prospects is the San Francisco Giants, and they have exactly what we need. They have that postseason stud starter that we want in Madison Bumgarner, and they have maybe the best closer going this year in Will Smith. We need to quit protecting all of our prospects. We should protect some, but not all, and go all in on those two guys to try to win in 2019.
And that, he is. So I think he's open to this idea is what it sounds like to me.
And the reality of the situation is, Mo, I understand, and you understand, hey, we are not going to displace Matt Carpenter and Paul Goldschmidt. We're counting on those guys to play well for us. I would love to go out and get us a third baseman, but I know that we're committed. I know that Mr. DeWitt is committed to Matt Carpenter, and he's going to be our guy.
Yeah, that's good. By the way, I really like that that trade. Bumgarner's great. Get Will Smith with him. And by the way, that deal shouldn't kill you. Because those guys, while they're great names and they're good players, they're both free agents
right
at the end of the year. So it shouldn't end up killing you on the backside. And I totally agree with the prospects. I mean, they are what they are. And you're using them. They're leverage. I'm going to make, if you will allow me to, I'm going to make another phone call to a ball club that is struggling mightily. And while this player, the initial player, and you know, Mo, I mean, we're going to try to get more from him than just this one guy. But while he's got a lot of control, I don't believe that the Tigers are in a position right now where they're going to need this guy. They're not going to be good enough in the next couple of years. I'm going to give a phone call about Matt Boyd, the starter there. Now, he's got three more years of control, so he's not a free agent until 2023, and he's as close to a dominant starter as they've gotten. He's really good. I mean, nobody knows who Matt Boyd is, Mo, because, look, they stink, and that's all there is to it. So I'm going to call Al Avila and talk to him about Boyd. Now, this one's going to cost us a little bit. It's going to cost us a couple of our arms. It's going to cost us a big league ready arm, whether it be Ponce de Leon or Gomber or Helsley. It's going to hurt a little bit, but that's okay, because we're also going to get a closer thrown into the mix. Now, he doesn't have to close for us if we love Carlos, but I want Shane Green. Shane Green right now is having a dominant season. He's got 21 saves. Next year is going to be his last year of arbitration. He's making $4 million. He's got a 0.93 ERA. Those are two aspects of our ball club we need. I would love to be able to call the Tigers.
Ooh, see, that's another really good idea, and I think he likes it.
I think so, too.
That's great. I'm going to give you, John, Mr. Mozeliak, let me give you a more realistic idea. I know I said Matt Chapman earlier, and he would certainly help our ball club. We could use a guy who plays third base the way he does and is able to deliver offensively. But right now, we are in the mode of needing some relief pitching. At 28 years old, Ken Giles is currently pitching for a team that is going nowhere. They're 21 and a half games out of first place. The Blue Jays are not going to the postseason this year. But Giles is a guy who will strand 90% of runners that he inherits. His strikeouts per nine, 16. He strikes out 16 for every nine innings that he pitches, and a good ground ball rate of 42%. He's got one more arbitration year left to go. What do you think? This is a guy who could really help us out. Oh, this is a great idea.
No, go back to the drawing board.
Oh, so we want something better.
Add something. Add something to that deal. Add a starting pitcher to that deal.
Okay.
Yeah, but you could use a pen if, in fact, you threw in this guy.
How about Marcus Stroman in addition? We could use a lot of help, both in the starting rotation and in the bullpen. I think those are our guys, Mo. Oh, get lost. What are you talking about? These are great ideas.
Well, I'd still rather have Bumgarner. I think that Marcus Stroman could be an upgrade to the rotation currently, making $7.4 million, and he's got one more year of service next year.
What are you talking about? Okay, we can do better. Here's something that's a little bit outside the box. How about we get some plutonium? We build a time machine.
Okay.
We go back to the offseason. We sign Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell. Yes, yeah. That could have worked.
Mo, I know we just got word that Jordan Hicks is undergoing Tommy John surgery tomorrow, and we're going to lose him for a year and a half. I want to do our Mad Bum Will Smith deal, but I understand we need a little bit more. And I understand your commitment to Matt Carpenter, but how about a half a season of Anthony Rendon? Let's call Mike Rizzo.
Yes.
Let's see if Mike Rizzo wants to get a prospect. Maybe he can bring Rendon back next year when we recommit to Matt Carpenter. But let's pursue a middle-of-the-lineup bat like Rendon. And if they are in the mood to move Sean Doolittle, I don't know if we can afford it, but I think that that call to Mike Rizzo is something that we have to do. And wouldn't you love to have Anthony Rendon on your team?
That's true. So Rendon is one, and I'm really surprised that the Nationals haven't, I'm sure they're working behind the scenes to get something done, but once Harper left, I really thought that they would just pony up the cash and keep Rendon, because he's their star. Rendon's hitting .310, he's got 17 bombs, he's driven in 53, and he's good over there at the hot corner. He's very good. And I love that idea. And you can never have too many good players. While there's a commitment to Matt Carpenter, this is for the here, for the now, and Rendon is doing it here and now. And by the way, Doolittle, while I'm sure, Randy, as you mentioned cost, the cost is going to be prospects, most likely, because it's not going to be the money, at least on the Doolittle side. He's making $6 million this year. He makes a $6.5 million club option for next year, which is peanuts for what Doolittle is.
And especially with the knowledge that we aren't going to have Jordan Hicks next year.
Right.
Might as well protect ourselves in that position right now.
Now, who knows what kind of dealing the Nationals want to do right now. They find themselves just 3.5 games back of the wild card. They're on a little bit of a push. But they're another ball club, like we were talking about the A's, who are in town right now. If they go on a little bit of a slide, those phones are going to be ringing off the hook.
Let me throw one more name out
for you.
What about Zach Wheeler? Do you guys like that idea?
He's been struggling a bit.
He just had a great outing.
The injury scares me a tiny bit, but I like Zach Wheeler a lot. And Randy, you had another Met starter that you're interested in.
Oh,
Syndergaard?
Yeah, I like him too.
I'll take him right now.
Get Thor on our side? That'd be fun. And they appear to be pretty stupid in New York. So
you just never know.
Why do you think that?
Just because they look to be pretty stupid.
No. Not the Mets.
Yeah. Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets.
Come right up and meet the Mets.
Oh, sorry. Back to the trades. Yeah. Anyways, I mean, those are some ideas there.
Yeah, we're just throwing them out there.
That was good.
And by the way, we did not mention the name of Max Scherzer, because he's not going anywhere. Their ownership loves him, and they want him to be their first Hall of Famer, the Nationals' first Hall of Famer.
I'm still going to ask if I'm having a conversation.
Yeah, you got to ask.
I'll just bring up the name. It's like, hey, I already know it's a no, but look, Mo's going to kill me if I don't ask. Scherzer? That's exactly what he would say. By the way, real quick, another move that I would float out there to Pobo is, and it might not be a popular one after things that are going well, just sign Trevor Rosenthal.
Yeah, why not?
Sign him to a minor league deal, by the way. I want him to earn this. Sign him to a minor league deal. He's already making, and I'll give him an out of July 15th. If you're not in the big leagues by July 15th, see you. You can go wherever you want.
Good call.
No risk.
Coming up, we've got a new fighter coming your way in the 4 o'clock fight here on 101 ESPN.